This is Vermont Edition. I'm Bob Kinzel. There's a bill at the State House that would raise the age to buy tobacco products from 18 to 21. The measure was considered late last year in the House. It passed on a vote of 86 to 61, but the Senate didn't have time to fully explore this issue. Backers of the bill are optimistic that the legislation will find strong support in both the House and the Senate this session. So why is this bill needed? Joining me now to discuss this issue is someone who strongly supports passage of this bill, Dr. Rebecca Bell, who is an assistant professor of pediatrics at the UVM College of Medicine. She's also a member of the Vermont chapter of the American Academy of Pediatrics. Great to have you here.
Thanks for having me.
So a number of cities have raised the age to buy tobacco from 18 to 21. I think a couple of states have taken this step. Why should Vermont go in this direction?
Well, I think we've recognized now that smoking is a major public health issue, one of the biggest public health issues affecting our population across the nation. And there are many different things that we can do to reduce the adult smoking population. One of them is this, is to raise the legal age of limit of access to tobacco products from 18 to 21. And we actually have evidence that this will reduce the prevalence of adult smokers in our population. And a number of states have done it. So California has done it and Hawaii has done it.
So there's a lot of evidence that suggests that adult smokers actually begin before they turn 18. Is there any evidence that suggests that there's a pretty sizable number of people who actually start smoking between 18 and 21?
There are some. 95% of smokers, adult smokers, start by the time they're 21. Some are in that age group between 18 to 21. But what this measure would do actually is affect those who start even earlier. And the reason can be, you can see the reason with social networks. And so one of the biggest age groups that start to smoke is the 15 to 17 year age group. Those teenagers are with 18-year-olds every day in high school, right? So 18-year-olds are seniors in high school, and so they have access to tobacco products. If you distance that social source, so if you raise the age to 21, 14, 15, 16, 17-year-olds, their social circle doesn't overlap with 21-year-olds as much. And so what the evidence is showing and the research is showing is that the biggest effect of raising this age limit would actually be among 15 to 17-year-olds. We know that when people start smoking early in their teenage years, they actually become more addicted than if they were to start later. They have a harder time quitting, and they tend to smoke more. So they become adults who are smokers who have a really hard time quitting, and they smoke more and more often and have poorer health outcomes. So preventing younger teenagers from starting to smoke is a big focus for us.
Is there some scientific evidence that looks at why young people, let's say your 14, 15, 16-year-olds, become addicted to nicotine much easier than adults do?
Yeah, so the reward centers in the brain are actually more sensitive to nicotine at younger ages, and we see that diminish over time. Even by the age of 18, it's a little bit better than at the age of 13, and certainly as you get into adulthood, that sensitivity to within the reward centers of the brain are much diminished to the effect of nicotine.
So what do you say to those folks who say, okay, if you raise the tobacco age from 18 to 21, you're just going to create a huge black market for cigarettes among teenagers?
Well, so they're already underage users, right? So like I mentioned, there are kids start smoking at, you know, before they're allowed to buy the product. So if you're talking about black markets, I mean, there's one that exists already. And we do know that this is effective. So I think one of the biggest mistakes we make when we look at complex public health issues is that oftentimes we look at a proposed intervention and we say, this isn't going to entirely fix the problem. Why are we going to bother doing it? And I think with something as complex as smoking, we know that we need to do many different things to reduce the prevalence rate. One of them is to raise the age. And we do see that, you know, economists use things like opportunity costs and search time costs. And so when we reduce the access, even though kids are still going to be able to get cigarettes, making it a little bit difficult actually does deter use.
Let's look at some of the arguments against this bill.
Sure.
In this country, there are a number of important things that you can do when you turn 18. You can vote. So if a person is deemed qualified to make decisions about choosing elected officials, why aren't they qualified to make a decision about smoking?
Well, I think that one precedent we can look at is alcohol. And so years ago, states had 18 as their legal age of limit for consuming alcohol and purchasing alcohol. It became a public health issue. So for many different reasons, states reevaluated that and said, you know what, we are going to raise the limit to 21. And we did that, and that's true all across the country. So although we do very really important things and we ask people to make important decisions at the age of 18, there is a precedent for a public health intervention saying, you know, this is not healthy, this is not safe, we're going to raise the age to 21.
Now, another thing you can do at 18 is be part of the military. And some people would say, if you can go off and fight and be in the military in this country, you certainly should be able to buy cigarettes. What do you say to that?
Well, there is that, again, that precedent with alcohol. So members of the military cannot, you know, purchase or consume alcohol. And the military decided at the same time that the states decided, they decided to align their policies with the states. So there are servicemen and women who, you know, can fight for their country who don't drink alcohol. The other piece is that I think we really should look at our military leadership with this question. And we know that both here in Vermont and across the nation, what we're hearing from military leadership is smoking is a problem. It's a big public health threat to our population. We want to keep our members of the military healthy. The Military Health Services has partnered with tobacco cessation programs to try to reduce smoking in their population. And they're supportive of this measure. So in Hawaii, just over a year ago, when the state of Hawaii passed this bill, the military leadership in that state had the option of aligning themselves, you know, their military bases with the state policy and not, and they chose to. And so I think if we're hearing from military leadership, this is something they're supportive of, we should really listen and respect that.
I noticed last year when this bill came up in the House, there was an amendment to exempt people in the military from the provisions of the higher age limit. And it was defeated, but by a pretty narrow margin. And one of the states that you mentioned that increased the age for smoking, California, actually does exempt military personnel. Could that be part of the Vermont bill, or would you really prefer that it not be?
So I would prefer it would not be. And an important piece about the California legislation is that it exempts active duty military, but not reserve or National Guard. And so when we look at Vermont, you know, that would have a very small effect on Vermont military members. I think, again, if military leadership are saying we want our servicemen and women to benefit from public health interventions that we're applying to our entire population, then I think we should really go along with that.
You know, you've been discussing many of the very serious health and medical issues associated with tobacco use. Do you ever ask yourself the question, why is this product legal?
Yes, I do. And I think that, you know, I also think about in my lifetime how much smoking and the social norms around smoking have changed. And I think this particular question is going to be, you know, one of those points that we're going to look back to in a few decades and say, you know, I can't believe we let 18-year-olds smoke, buy, you know, tobacco products. And I think hopefully decades from now we'll even say, I can't believe we sold that product and it was legal. But these things take time. All things considered, I think that our knowledge of the dangers of tobacco products and our public health interventions have really changed the way people think about smoking. And I think we've made a lot of progress. It's hard when I'm a pediatric intensive care doctor, when I see the effects that smoking has on, you know, my patient population. It's hard to sit here and have to wait for some of these interventions to really catch up with the population.
This bill is in the Senate Health and Welfare Committee, and we'll be following its progress in the coming weeks. Dr. Rebecca Bell, many thanks for being on the program today.
Thank you.